This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, October 26th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a Ford County landmark and its preservers get a statewide honor. We'll hear about that. We'll also get a weekend forecast with meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan will not get a new appeals court hearing on his 2006 racketeering and fraud conviction. The Seventh Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals handed down that decision yesterday, and Diantha Parker reports his attorneys say it won't end there.
Three of the 11 appellate judges dissented, saying Ryan should get to appeal again. His attorney, former Illinois Governor Jim Thompson, says that may convince the U.S. Supreme Court to hear the case, even though the dissenting judges called the evidence against Ryan overwhelming. Thompson says that's not the point.
If that evidence was established in a trial that was unfair, if that evidence was established in a trial which itself violated the Constitution, because he didn't get his right to a fair jury trial, then it doesn't make any difference how strong the evidence is.
Thompson will also ask that Ryan remain free on bond while they wait to hear from the Supreme Court. I'm Diantha Parker.
The full U.S. Senate will now debate a $280 billion farm bill that Illinois senior senator says he will need to reread. Dick Durbin says that's because a provision he offered that would govern subsidies now offers a smaller government safety net to the nation's farmers because of an amendment made by Kansas Senator Pat Roberts. Durbin spoke on yesterday's closing market report on AM 580.
I go into this debate believing that my good friend Senator Roberts has taken a roller brush to a Rembrandt. We had a pretty good piece of legislation, and the crop insurance industry did not like it and made some changes in it.
Indiana Senator Richard Lugar, meanwhile, says he plans to challenge the subsidy funding on the Senate floor. He says that funding should be diverted to conservation programs, food aid to the poor, or reducing the federal deficit. The White House says a House resolution labeling the 1915 slaughter of Armenians as genocide could threaten their ability to ship supplies into Iraq via a Turkish airbase. Now, a former top State Department official says there are better ways to get Turkey to come to grips with the event. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Former Undersecretary of State Mark Grossman, who also served as U.S. Ambassador to Turkey in the 1990s, says that some Turks are starting to recognize the enormity of the killing of Armenians by the Ottoman Empire. He cites recent instances of dialogue among Turkish, American, and Armenian academics and professionals on the matter. But Grossman told an audience at the University of Illinois College of Law Thursday that a House resolution decrying the Armenian genocide will only draw hostility and make it easier for people in Turkey to ignore the issue altogether.
And I think we ought to be focused on how do you get the society to deal with its own history. And so I'm not in favor of this resolution, not on the historical question, but because I think it slows down the capacity of Turks to come to their own agreements.
Turkey recalled its ambassador to the U.S. after a House committee passed a resolution labeling as genocide the 1915 killing of Armenians. Backers of the resolution now say they're willing to wait until next year for a full House vote. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Building service and food service employees at the U of I have filed an intent to strike notice. The 10-day notice filed yesterday by the Service Employees International Union, Local 73, means there could be a work stoppage by early November. The last contract expired in August of 2006, and the two sides recently brought in a federal mediator. Marla Heath represents nearly 500 of those employees of the building service workers. She says there's been a lack of effort on the part of the U of I when it comes to bargaining.
You know, if both parties are coming to the table intent on negotiating a fair contract, why is it taking so long? This should be settled in a matter of a couple of 3 months. It shouldn't take a whole year. And it just seems to me that the university seems to be the problem because it's union after union after union is having problems settling their contract.
The U of I's last contract offer was 2.5% raises with back pay. Because the SEIU local workers are public employees, they could only strike for 3 days, but informational pickets could still be held. Heath says the strike could be averted if another meeting with the federal mediator were scheduled by early next month, But U of I spokeswoman Robin Kaler says it'll likely be mid-November before any more negotiations can be held. A $900,000 grant is aimed at helping community college students finish out their degrees at the U of I. Vice Provost Ruth Watkins says the Lumina Foundation grant may in turn make the university more accessible to minority and lower-income students, who make up a larger percentage of community college enrollment. Watkins says the university will work with about 10 community colleges to make more students aware that their previous coursework is usually transferable.
It is not that students from community colleges have not previously been successful on our campus. They have. It is more an issue of access and opportunity and representation.
The grant will fund a staff position and help form a volunteer group of mentors who can help community college students navigate the barriers to transferring to Illinois, barriers like financial aid, transferring credit, and improving access to U of I programs that have not traditionally accepted many community college students. And the university has reversed a policy regarding the use of Chief Illiniwek imagery in today's homecoming parade. Administrators had initially banned the use of the symbol or Native American imagery on parade floats. Chancellor Richard Herman, though, says the policy was overly broad. U of I spokeswoman Robin Kaler says the chancellor decided that the original rule infringed on free speech rights.
He views the floats and the participants on them as representations of personal points of view. So just as we wouldn't ban a member of the campus community from wearing, say, a chief jacket or something to work, we wouldn't participate parade entrants from expressing their points of view.
The initial policy reportedly upset some state lawmakers who had written a letter to U of I President Joseph White. The homecoming parade runs from 6 to 7 tonight. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Not long ago, one of Ford County's landmarks was falling apart. But since then, preservationists have converted the landmark into a local history museum. Those responsible for rehabbing the old Paxton Water Tower and Pump House will be honored over the weekend. AM 580's Jeff Bossert has this report.
Ford County was formed in 1859, making it the youngest county in Illinois. Its geography was part of the reason for the late start. The region's marshy prairie land was too wet for farming, but by the turn of the 20th century, technology had taken most of Ford County's swamps away, as described in this dramatization from a 1904 memoir.
The county was covered in swamps, and it's darn difficult to farm a piece of land when the land stands underwater. Well, anyways, someone invented a machine to get rid of the water sitting on top of the farmland. This invention is called a dredge boat, and I love to spend the afternoons watching it work. The dredge boat is a covered boat that has an engine on it. It has a great...
The words are from the book Hidalgo and Home Life at Westlawn by R.A. McCracken, a native of Paxton, the county seat in Ford County. The recording is one of the interactive features at the new Ford County Museum, housed in Paxton's old brick water tower and pump house. It's a handsome building now, but in the 1980s, the 120-year-old pump house was a crumbling old storage building. The Paxton City Council planned to tear it down for a parking lot until a group of residents stepped in. They formed the nonprofit Paxton Foundation and, as President Royce Beyer explains, got the city council to change its mind.
Nobody gave us a grant for $5,000 or $10,000 or anything like that. But the night that the council reversed their decision, we packed the council chamber, which is on the second floor here, and there was standing room only, and the people were lined up down the steps and out on the main street. So the city actually touched a nerve when they were going to tear this down. And they backed right down off their initial decision. And they said, okay, Paxton Foundation, now put your money where your mouth is.
The money added up to $80,000 to stabilize the tower and repair the fallen pump house roof. To raise that amount, the Paxton Foundation found some major donors, but also held bake sales and sold naming rights for tower bricks. But Foundation Vice President Judy Jepson Popel says saving the building was just a first step. Finding a use for it was next.
And at that same time, the Ford County Historical Society was looking for a place for a museum. And they had a committee that went all over the county, and some of them wanted to build a new structure, and many of us wanted it to be in an old structure, and this fit the bill.
The Foundation and the Historical Society joined forces in 2001 and renovated the pump house interior to hold museum exhibits that had long been in storage. There are old Indian arrowheads, a U.S. flag from the Civil War era, and a picture commemorating President Gerald Ford's visit to Ford County in 1974. Plexiglass now allows visitors to look up into the brick water tower. The water tank that sat atop of the tower was dismantled in the 1940s, but there are hopes to install a reproduction of the old tank in its place. And Paxton Foundation President Royce Beyer says they also have hopes that the pump house and the museum inside can revitalize downtown Paxton.
Our original dream was that this become the focal point of the downtown. And since the downtown is slowly fading away, it might be more important now than ever that this be the beginning of a unique area in the downtown that will attract tourists and bring the downtown back to life.
On Saturday in Chicago, the Historical Preservation Group, Landmarks Illinois, will present those behind the Ford County Museum with its Preservation Award for Outstanding Advocacy. Back in Paxton, the Ford County Museum is now open, Sundays from 2 to 4. But special visits are possible if you call ahead. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Aside from Sunday, our weekend looks like we could be dodging some raindrops. Our forecast for today, we have sunshine early, then becoming cloudy with some rain from late morning through the afternoon in Champaign-Urbana with a high of 59. Ed Kieser says in west central and southern Illinois today and in southwest Indiana, it'll be cloudy with periods of rain throughout the day. Elsewhere, there'll be a mix of sun and clouds early, then cloudy with scattered showers. Highs from 53 in southwest Illinois to 63 in eastern Indiana. Periods of rain throughout the two states and in Champaign-Urbana overnight tonight. The lows between 44 and 49. Tomorrow, in western Illinois, mostly cloudy early, then becoming partly to mostly sunny. In eastern Illinois, mostly cloudy with a few widely scattered showers early. Then in Indiana, cloudy with widespread showers throughout the day. Highs from 53 in northwest Illinois to 63 far south. In Champaign-Urbana, tomorrow's high 58 with a west to northwest wind at 12 to 24 miles an hour. Sunday, high of 55 with sunshine after a clearing night on Saturday night with scattered frost likely after midnight. Sunday night, frost likely at a low 35, sunny and 64 for Monday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, October 26th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.